You are listening to a message from Crestview Bible Church in Hutchinson, Kansas. For more information and additional resources, visit us at crestviewbiblechurch.org.
So we've made it to Christmas Eve. And I love that we get to gather together today to celebrate Christ's birth. And I love how the worship song, Come Along Expect Jesus, puts it, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. So that's why we're here this morning. That's why we've taken time away from family, or we've brought family with us to be here to put a priority on Christ, that it is worshiping Him. It is that's what's driving us this morning. And so I want us to think about this idea of Emmanuel again and what it means that Jesus is Emmanuel. So this is the good news, that God has come near to us. God has come near. He's not far away. He's near. Emmanuel means God with us. And like I've said a few times, you might see two different spellings for Emmanuel, with an E or an I. One of those is Hebrew. One of those is kind of the more Latin spelling. And so that's the deal. Don't let that throw you, distract you. Today we're just going to walk through these verses that we've looked at the past few weeks to help us see what Emmanuel means. And so I want you to join me as we consider what it means to worship Emmanuel. That's really what we're here, to come and worship the newborn King. And if you're an unbeliever here, this short time that we're looking at this is going to help you see why Christmas is such a big deal to us as Christians. You might wonder, what is all the big deal? Why do you insist on saying Merry Christmas? Why is this such an important thing for you? And you're going to see why in these passages that we're going to look at. And I hope you're able to see it. And I hope you see why it's super good news that God is with us, and that's what we're celebrating. And if you're a believer, I hope these reasons to worship Emmanuel are real for you. I hope this isn't just, you know, talk and empty words, that you really do want to worship Him. And so that's where we're headed today. I invite you just to look to Him and to join me as we see three parts to worshiping Emmanuel. Three parts to worshiping Him. And so the first part of worship is that knowing Emmanuel begins with God. So knowing. So little kids, can you all take your fingers? If you're going to talk about knowing something, you just point to your brains. Let's all do that together, okay? Point to our brains. We're knowing something about Emmanuel. Good. Knowing Emmanuel begins with God. And we see this in Isaiah 7. So here's our passage there. Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 14. Here's what we read. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I won't ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you should weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So it begins with God. This plan, this idea, this what we celebrate at Christmas, this idea of Emmanuel began in God's heart. It was his idea. He made the first move, and because he did, we can have hope. Specifically in our passage, God came near. He came near to a king named Ahaz. Neighboring nations were threatening to destroy and come and attack Ahaz and his kingdom, and therefore peace and his rule were being questioned. And God came near with good news. And the good news came as God promised to act. God promised to act. Ahaz refused to ask God for a sign, even though he offered. God offered to let him pick a sign, but Ahaz refused a sign. But God provided one anyway, and the sign was pretty specific, that a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel. So this whole story of this son coming by a virgin would show that God wasn't some distant, pie-in-the-sky, kind of dreamy reality that we could hope for, but that God was with his people. He would come near. He would fulfill this promise. So knowing God is with us then, knowing Emmanuel begins with God. Knowing Emmanuel, it begins with God. Begins with God. The New Testament tells us that we love God because he first loved us. And that's what we see here in this story of Emmanuel, that it begins with God. Knowing Emmanuel begins with God. And so we can praise him today that he's moved to give us hope. He's taken the first move. Secondly, another part of worshiping Emmanuel is that appreciating Emmanuel centers on his incarnation. So this is going to get tricky. So kids, if you're sitting next to someone, can you give them a hug without like distracting the whole room too much? So give someone a hug next to you. Appreciating Emmanuel centers on his incarnation. appreciating Emmanuel centers on his incarnation. So somehow, can I give myself a hug? That's kind of stupid, but yeah. Appreciating Emmanuel centers on his incarnation. This is really what we're celebrating at Christmas. So in John 1:14, we have where the first part of worship came in knowing precisely that God promised to act for our good. Another movement of worship swells here in the second point, as we see that we appreciate Emmanuel because of his incarnation. What do we mean by this big word incarnation? It simply means that God became flesh. He became incarnate. He took on human flesh. He became flesh. And in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So John's gospel, which was written that we might know and believe that Jesus is God's Son and that we might have life through him, begins with showing us the Word. He was in the beginning. This person, the Word, was in the beginning. He was with God. He was God. And in John 1:14, this Word became flesh. He dwelt among us. He tabernacled here. And when we saw him, when people on earth saw Jesus, it was like seeing the glory of God himself shining brightly in his Son, full of grace and truth. So we're going to light candles at the end, and that's kind of what we're symbolizing here, that the light of Jesus shines brightly because he came and took on human flesh. And seeing his glory was like seeing the glory of the only Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, God's Son, became a man. He was a human just like you and me. But unlike us, he was a man without sin. So Hebrews 4 tells us what that means, helps us understand what that means. In Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16, if I can find it here. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16, he was a man without sin. So Hebrews 4, the writer is showing us that Jesus is uniquely qualified to pave the way for us for a better relationship with God. And this is called the role of a high priest, is one that Jesus could step into with confidence. And the Bible tells us here that, listen to this language, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast our confession. For we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let's then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Jesus could step into this with confidence. Why? Because he passed through the heavens. He came from heaven to earth. And he came and dwelt among us. And he's able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows what it's like to operate within the limitations of humanity. He knows what that's like for you. He knows what that's like for me. So here's some things that we saw a couple weeks ago. That he knows what it's like to gasp for breath. He knows what it's like to know pain. He knows what it's like to feel hunger. He knows what it's like to be thirsty, to watch friends betray and abandon you, to be in a place, to be without a place to rest, to taste death. He knows what a struggle it is to obey your parents. He knows what a struggle it is when you're tempted, to not be thanked when he does something good for someone, to have extended family pulling for your attention, to need to wake up early to do something as simple as pray, to be persecuted, to be misunderstood, to simply be human. He knows all these things, and he sympathizes with our weakness. So we're also told that in every respect he's been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He lived the perfect life that we could never pull together. He did this. He lived this. And so we're urged then to draw near to him, to come near to this Jesus who dwelt among us, who tabernacled among us. We're urged to draw near to him with confidence because he sits on a throne of grace dispensing mercy. And the result is that we'll find grace to help us whenever we need it. So do you see how that leads to appreciation? There's a reason I had you hug the person next to you, because a hug is maybe a way you might communicate appreciation. And that's what we're doing. We're appreciating Emmanuel because he became human, because he took on human flesh. That's what we're celebrating. That's how we worship him. The deep appreciation his incarnation brings. Not only does knowing him begin with God himself, but appreciating him. We appreciate him because he became fully human. So third and finally, we see that we're being humbled by Emmanuel, remembers his rescuing mission. being humbled by Emmanuel. So you could almost envision, what do you think would be a good idea of how we could think about being humbled? You could just bow your head. That's why we bow our heads when we pray oftentimes, because we're just humbled. So can you just bow your heads with me, like right now, if you're a child in the room, just bow your head. Oh, we're humbled by Emmanuel as we remember his rescuing mission. So here's the story we get in Matthew 1. Matthew 1, coming back to, this is where the New Testament tells us that prophecy way back in Isaiah was fulfilled. And in Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25, here's what we read. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So we're humbled by Emmanuel, remembering his rescuing mission. We, again, being humbled by this, because it's absolutely stunning that God would come for us. Why would God come for you and me? He's absolute perfection and we're not. So we're humbled. We needed a high priest. We needed someone to get us back to God. We needed someone to bridge that gap. We needed someone to pass through the heavens to come and fix all that was messed up on earth. And Jesus did this. He came on this rescue mission. This meant he stepped into our shame. So in this story, Matthew 1, it was a situation and all that it brought. There was shame for an unwed teenager to be pregnant before marriage. But God was behind this. God had a bigger story to tell in the midst of this. He was in the midst of this shame. He stepped into that shame. And he also was rescuing us from sin, which was why he was named Jesus, right? In 121 there, she will bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We needed to be saved from sin, from sins, because it's all we really knew. But he came for this, and he fulfilled this. He fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. So Jesus was called Emmanuel. Not only was Jesus called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins, but Matthew tells us that Jesus was the one who would be called Emmanuel, because it's in Jesus that God is with us. He's near. He was God with us. So, do you remember our 3 points? 3 parts of worshiping Emmanuel. Knowing Emmanuel begins with God. God took the first move. God came after us. God promised that he would send the fulfillment of this promise. So we know him. It begins with God. We appreciate him. That's our hug, right? We appreciate him because of his taking on human flesh, because of his incarnation. And then we're humbled by him because we remember his rescuing mission. And it humbles us that we were the sinners that he came for. He came to rescue us. So today, on one level, if you're an unbeliever here today, I just want you to believe in Jesus. I'm asking you to receive this gift of God with us. He came near. Jesus is God with us. And so to know, appreciate, and be humbled by who he is and what he came to do means that you put your trust in him. You believe. You put all your confidence in him. You respond by turning from your own way of salvation to what God has set in motion that first Christmas so long ago. So it's yours for the taking. Will you believe that? Will you put your trust in him? And if you're a believer, you're there, right? You're ready. You could sing. Let's sing like another 100 verses of Joy to the World, right? You love this truth. And so today, would you allow your heart to swell in adoration of Jesus, knowing that he is Emmanuel, he's God with us? Know that God set this in motion. I mean, just think about that. God dreamed a plan like this that we would never dare dream on our own. That God did this. Know that. And appreciate the embrace he gave humanity. See, Jesus didn't come in the flesh and just stiff-arm humanity and say, well, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. No, he embraced it. He came full on and took on human flesh, walked in our shoes, so that we could have a Savior, so we could have a high priest, so we could have a way of relating to God that was real. It wasn't just some dream, but could actually happen. And then be humbled. Be humbled by the fact that he came for you. He came to rescue you from sin, from shame. So this Christmas, you might be thinking, well, you don't know like my backstory. No, Jesus does. And that's why he's with you. He's here. He came near for people with that backstory, for people with shame, people with sin. That's what he came for. So come and worship him. Come and worship him. And as we do, we'll be a people who glorify and enjoy him forever. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful this morning for your coming, you sending your son, Jesus, for us. We know that this plan began with you. You set it in motion. We could have never dared done anything like this on our own, but you did. And so we know, we praise you that you are God the Father implementing this plan, and that we know that it was your heart from eternity. And then we appreciate the embrace you gave humanity by taking on human flesh, by stepping full on into our world. We appreciate that, and we are humbled that you came on a rescuing mission for us. So stir these things in our hearts, provoke worship in us, that we would worship you. And yes, we want to party well with family today and tomorrow and this week and all that goes into the season, but we want to do that with an eye on you and knowing that forever we'll be with you, praising you forever because of what you've done. So we just lift these requests up to you and pray that you'll encourage our hearts today as we continue to worship you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message helps you to glorify God and enjoy him forever.